You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast.
We're back at it again with another episode of La Verdad Podcast, and this is your host Christian.
This is V Fig, of course, and always on the mic.
Sorry, Nati.
We were just discussing this before the podcast started, and we said I was making fun of Nati for a little bit because she was.
They think I'm dry.
We're trying to get our intro to be very lively and like, yes, this is who.
Because if anyone knows me, my personality is not very dry.
I don't know. Do you need some coffee today, or you're good?
I'm chilling.
So today, you know, we've been actually doing a couple recordings. So this is the second one, and we've gone from a range of talking about mental health. We've talked about, you know, the music industry.
Yeah.
And now we have with us today someone that's going to talk a little bit more about the home buying industry, the realty. How do I say it?
I don't know. I'll let her. She's the expert.
You might have seen her. So I saw her on Facebook live because it comes up as like a sponsored post. And I was like, wow, she's everywhere in social media, like on Instagram as well. So it's one of those people where I was like, I need to have her on the show. So we reached out. We got on the show. And we finally have Sonia Figueroa with us today. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. I bet you're probably all over the place. So thank you for coming by to the Belmont Cragen area. And
North side in the house.
So can you give us a little background on what you do?
Sure. So my name is Sonia Figueroa, and I've been in the real estate business for 12 years. Mainly, I do focus on first-time home buyers, of course, sellers as well, but I get a ton of first-time home buyers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice, nice. And I know we were talking about this before the podcast started out, and a lot of your clients tend to be Latino, Spanish-speaking.
Yes. So, and actually, on my social media, I broadcast in Spanish, and I also do English. Yeah. So I do both, and yeah, it's a good thing.
So on social media, I know that you use it to your advantage. Has it been something that has helped you out a lot in the industry? Is it used in the industry a lot, or you kind of just...
To be honest, a lot of people shy away from it. I think either they're kind of scared to use it or they're not really sure how to use it.
Mm. Yeah.
So especially in our community. I know you had asked before, but 80%, and I would say actually 90, closer to 95%. Of my target audience or my customer base are Latinos.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I don't see a lot of other real estate professionals using
I have never
media.
Seen it, to we be quite it. Honest yeah. with you. Yeah. I thought it was so cool. I'm real big on technology. I love technology. Mm-hmm. And I think that everyone should use it for their benefit, right? So when I saw your Facebook Lives, like, it was just kind of like, wow, like, if I want to buy a home, I'm going to talk to her because I want to know. I want someone that's as dedicated into her craft as you are, you know. So has it proven to be successful?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
80% of my business comes from social media.
Wow.
Not just the Facebook Live, but also Snapchat and Instagram. So, I mean, it really does work. What it is, though, is consistency. You have to always be on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like you could just do one. I'll do one once a month, or you always have to be on so people can start to like to get to know you and trust you as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the information
that's big
that
in
you're
Latino
giving.
Community too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, and we've seen it ourselves. Like when we did the podcast, at first in the beginning, we would do like once a month, right, and then. Our ratings weren't as consistent, you know, and then we ended up doing it every single Sunday, and our ratings were really, really good, you know, because everyone was expecting it already.
Exactly.
So consistency has always been like a big key on that, especially when we do like either Facebook Live while we're doing a podcast. Mm-hmm. It's helped us out, helped us grow a lot. In that
That's
sense as
great.
Well.
Yeah. So as you can see, as you guys know, it does work.
Yeah, yep, it definitely. That's awesome. So, excuse me. Like I said, we've done a couple podcasts today, so my voice is barely hanging out. Now, as far as like you mentioned, there was a lot of first-time home buyers that are going in there. What are some of the ¿Cómo se dice? What are some of the things that they're fearful of when they talk to you as being a first-time home buyer? Like,
the biggest fear is commitment. Okay. It's commitment from renting to actually owning a property where you have a mortgage to pay. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you can't just get rid of a mortgage, it's really the fact of being committed to something for such a long-term deal. You know, typical mortgages are at the very minimum 15-year mortgage to a 30-year mortgage. So imagine you're paying 30, you know, you're paying every month for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And then just the fact of not knowing what you're getting into. Because, you know, when you're renting, that's has nothing. You don't have to maintain the property. You don't have to think about that stuff. But as an owner, now you got to, you know, do the maintenance on the home.
Exactly.
You
got to,
you know, or like, oh, man, or what about if something breaks? And so, you know,
that's
so,
my fear. Like, oh, my God. Got to fix that toilet. Yeah. I got to pay for that now, you know?
Well, where do you go for that? Where do you go to get something fixed, and et cetera?
Like, someone that you trust, like she was saying, like someone that knows what they're talking about.
Especially within, I've noticed, so we rent, right? And when I first got into it, I was like, oh, it's so cool that if something happens, I could just call my landlord and get it fixed. But prior to that, you know, living with my parents, I noticed how hard it was, you know? Once you made that commitment of buying the house, now you have to make sure that it's fixing it, that it's working and all that. So I kind of I kind of wanted to jump into another question that I had was, nowadays I notice a lot of people go into what they call flipping houses, right? So they'll buy a fixer upper. Yeah.
Okay.
If you're a first time home buyer, do you recommend something like that?
No, I do not. You know, a lot of people, you watch these TV shows, okay? and I understand everybody loves HGTV or flipping Vegas or flipping whatever. But I mean, that's just not real, guys. That's not the reality of purchasing and flipping. So I don't recommend for a first-time home buyer to do that. I recommend for a first-time home buyer, especially if it's your first time. You don't want to buy a house that you're going to be a house poor because you're always dumping money in there, you know? Mm-hmm. So you want to buy a home that's completely habitable. You know, things do break down, but you don't want to be, you know, buying furnaces and buying water heaters and buying all the, you know.
Yeah.
It's just you want something really habitable, ready to move in without any crazy headaches. For down the road.
I could just imagine,
I mean, now, if you already bought and now you're looking to do some investment in doing some flips, that's different. But as far as for your first time, no. Try it. You know, it is, the home buying process as it is stressful.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to add an additional stress in trying to flip a home.
Right.
It's just, it involves a lot. Yeah. From inspections to permits to, you know, they really don't show that stuff on, you know,
of course,
the house.
They just want to make it really fun.
Yeah, they're
exciting.
Like, oh, yeah, we made $100,000 in profit. I'm like, okay, but there's other expenses.
Right. It's kind of like those cooking shows, right, where they show you the beginning, it looks all messy or whatever, and at the end, it's all nice, and you're sitting there, I'm like, man, I could do that. You know, I could put some drywall up, and then eventually it's just, oh, God, like, what did I get into?
Yeah, the whole do-it-yourself thing, that's disaster waiting to happen.
I have no patience for anything.
So the term flipping houses is that necessarily meaning that you buy a house, you fix it up, and then you resell it right away? Or is it just buying a house, fixing it up, and that's your home?
No, yeah. So flipping is basically what it is. You buy it, it's in distress, and you fix it up, and then you resell it for profit.
Okay, okay. And do majority of the time, do they make profit on that? From your experience, have you noticed people making profit, or is it more like a wash?
Very little, very little. I would say maybe like $5,000 to $10,000. If it's your first deal, of course, there's a lot you have to look at. You have to look at location. You know, there's just a lot that goes into it. And then plus, things will pop out, you know, in the middle of the rehab, you know, like their foundation problem. And that can cost thousands of dollars that you were not even expecting, right? So then now there goes your profit. No more profit at that point. So.
Interesting. What about if I'm a first time, like I want to buy my first house, right? But I'm kind of looking into maybe buying a building. Would you suggest that for a first time?
Actually, a lot of millennials are, that's what they're doing. They're actually buying two multi-units. I call them 2 to 4 units or 2 flats.
Okay.
And they're renting out, you know, they live in one and then they rent out the other to help accommodate for the mortgage.
Yeah, that's what a friend
of
mine
are doing that.
Is doing that. She was originally renting with her husband, and then they were looking to buy a home, and then however she found out that the actual building, like the owner was selling it, so they ended up buying the whole thing, and so now they're landlords, and it's like extra income, and I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I think that's, yeah, I think that's awesome.
That's a plus right there.
I think that's awesome because in the sense of, you know, nowadays you never know if you're gonna have a job the next day or whatnot. At least you have a. That's the way I think about it. It's like I want to have some type of income coming in somehow.
Income, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, is it a pain though being a landlord? From your experience, like being a landlord,
You definitely have to be ready to be a landlord and have that mindset because I've actually evicted three people. Mm. The eviction process is not fun.
That's what I've heard, a long time.
And then if you hire an attorney, that's even more expensive. Mm-hmm. You could do it yourself. It's called pro se, but you're gonna be stressed out.
There's a lot because there's a lot of laws that help out the tenants.
Illinois is a tenant state.
Yeah,
yeah. They're definitely do not cater to the landlord. They cater more to the tenant. So mm-hmm. when you're looking to get into a lease situation, you better have those I's dotted, those T's crossed. Okay. You better include the ordinances in there. There's even like a bed bug disclosure that mm-hmm. you have, you know, like you.
And they have to give, I'm renting and they just gave me a bunch of paperwork that I actually didn't get when the first time I rented. And I was like,
interesting.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. You really got to know what you're doing. And not only that, but when you're, the security deposits have to be in a separate account, interest bearing account.
I saw that as well.
Be separate. And there's like a form from Chicago that has what interest needs to be paid out. So it gets really detailed.
So the interest is mandatory per the county or the city or?
The city.
The city, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. So you better know what you're doing as a landlord.
Now, if you're getting a lot of first-time home buyers, what's the ages that you're getting? Are you getting more younger, like 25, or are they?
Yeah, so
it vary?
It varies, but mostly I would say between 25 to 35 is the bigger range for first-time home buyers.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what about if you're going into buying your first property? What do you recommend usually as far as like a down payment, or what's that process look like?
Well, there's really different types of financing. Most first-time home buyers go with FHA, which stands for Federal mm-hmm. Housing Administration, and that down payment is 3.5%. So that's the very minimum percentage. But obviously, the more money you have down, the better mm-hmm. it is, because you're going to get a lower mortgage payment.
Right.
But you know, not all of us have 20% down to give, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we also, when you move in, you want to buy furniture, you want to, you know.
Right.
You
right.
want to have some reserves too for your mortgage payments, that extra money in the bank too. So yeah, most first-time home buyers do the 3.5%.
And what would you say is like a big no-no as far as like if I'm looking into a house right now and in the finance like side of it, you know, maybe you should know exactly how much you should spend, or you should know how much you should you budget, et cetera.
Yeah, like, I think one of the biggest no-nos I have is this is not the time to buy a motorcycle, or this is not the time to be buying other stuff. You know, if you're going to buy a home, it's going to take some sacrifice of what it is that you really want. If you're looking to buy, you better have some savings in the bank. I had one person say, hey, can I buy a house with $500? And I'm like, are you serious?
What?
Because they do go. Advice? I'm very naive when it comes down to like the home buying experience. So do they actually? They do check your bank last 3 months,
right? I believe they have to go back to 3 months.
So you should
they
probably
make
stay
sure
away.
You have that money.
You need reserves mm-hmm. in the bank because obviously the bank's going to lend you this big dollar amount,
mm-hmm. right.
but they want to make sure that you can pay. You do need reserves. You know, there's something called closing costs as well. Mm-hmm. So you need money for that in the event that the seller is not going to help you pay for the closing costs.
Okay.
Aside from your down payment, aside from the other miscellaneous costs like your attorney fee, your home inspection fee, mm-hmm. you know, these are things that you don't, you know, as a first-time homeowner, you're not thinking about. People normally just think about, oh, my down payment.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other costs, miscellaneous
other fees,
costs that are involved. Yeah.
Plus, if you move into a place and something breaks down,
right.
you have to
have
that.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you definitely want to have money in the bank for sure.
So what are the top three or whatever, if you want to put a number on it, things that you would say if you're thinking of starting the process of home buying that you need to kind of check off your list before you even start the money? Obviously, having the reserves.
Right.
Good credit. I'm assuming.
Sure. The higher the credit score, and the credit score can go from 400 to like that's really, really bad.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
It could be that you don't have any credit either. Mm-hmm. All the way up to 850. That's the like the top, top of the line. So you want to be at least anywhere between 620 and above. Mm-hmm. For FHA is about 620. You can do 580, but then the interest rate is a little higher. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you want it, the better the credit score, the better interest rate you're going to have.
Yeah. Well, you walked in, you said, I've been doing this for years. Like, you're well versed in this. Like, take us back to like how you even got started in the industry, and especially being a Latina. Like, what's that been like? Like, how did you get started in all of this?
That's going back. I'm going way back.
Are you from Chicago originally? Yeah, born and raised.
Yeah, born and raised in Chicago. I grew up in Logan Square.
Okay.
So I was in corporate, so I was a telecom engineer before my real estate days. And my best friend, when I was working in corporate, her brother said, oh, you know, my brother just opened up a real estate company. And I had always liked sales or real estate. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, man, I wonder if I would be good at this. Like, I wonder if I could get out there. Plus, I was sick of the 9-to-5, being stuck at a desk.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand it. I was just like, oh my God, I have to do something else. Mm-hmm. I really needed at that point a career change of some sort. Otherwise, I was going to go insane.
How old were you, more or less? And I don't mean
to. Yeah. How old was I? I have to 28.
Okay.
Yeah, about 28. So my best friend, she was like, oh, well, because we work together. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, just give it a shot. Talk to my brother. And from there, he was like, you could do it. Of course, he just started, so he needed
people. Right?
Yeah. Exactly. He was like, yeah, you could do it. So he was really motivating. You need a state license, mm-hmm. and then you got a 120 credit hour course that you have to take. And I did it and passed, and I'm like, okay, let's do this.
Social media has been big on building your clientele.
Well, not at that time. So at that time, I don't even think Facebook was around, because it's only been around for 10 years.
Yeah.
So no, it was more like cold calling, and it was completely not what I'm doing now, for marketing myself. Those were like tougher days to actually, I don't hate cold calling. Or knocking on doors. I was knocking on doors.
That'd be terrifying. I know, I don't have the confidence. Hello, hi, I want to talk to you.
And I always thought about it too, because I work in sales as well, and we use social media a lot, right? Use technology a lot. And I always think about, man, the people that didn't have this back in the day, even being a car salesman, I bet you that was so hard, trying to get your contacts and actually cold calling, probably looking at a phone book and going through people's names or leads here and there, trying to buy leads. I mean, I could just imagine how hard it was. But being a female and a Latina in that industry, has it been hard to do, or
has
it
impacted just your...
Well, being a Latina, I mean, luckily, my mom taught me how to read, write, and speak Spanish. So that helped me out tremendously. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful for that, because that has helped my business tremendously.
I'm sure.
Plus, I'm sure, they feel, being a Latino, and if you speak my language, you look like me, I'm going to definitely trust you, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
So that trust is there, and it's great to have somebody else that knows your culture and what you're going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Latino culture, I mean, it's totally different from other cultures. Mm-hmm. We're very family-oriented. Like, you have to know the nuances, and if you understand the nuances, then, you people can relate to you a little bit better.
Yeah, as well. Yeah. So what do you feel like, just, you started many, many years, but you knew like you needed this change. What's been like the biggest challenge then, kind of going from where you started as far as like doing all these phone calls and not using social media, like through that, like what were your biggest challenges just going through the motions, really?
My biggest challenge is, honestly, is the fact that we are commission based. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a regular, paycheck every week, and not having the consistency of actual, knowing when you're going to get paid. Yeah. So you have to have like so many deals in the pipeline, and sometimes these deals fall apart.
Yes, you got to hustle. So like, you're always really working.
And just a visual perspective, how long was usually like one of these deals? How long would they take?
So a typical closing takes about a month and a half.
That's after the person saw the house and said, I want that house.
Exactly. That's after shopping.
Oh, man.
So and in that month, let's say you have one deal and you're concentrating on that one deal. And for some reason, I don't know, it falls apart at home inspection because there's a big, huge gapping hole in the roof or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You're done. You don't get paid.
Oh, my God.
So you spend all that time and energy and it's fucked.
What's the whole process in home buying? Time frame that you're looking at from the very beginning.
You know what? It's really going to depend on you as a first-time home buyer and how picky you are as well. Because I've had a client that, you know, we saw a couple of houses, maybe like five houses, and he picked one in one day, right?
Oh, wow.
And then I had another client that took me 2 years.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, you see, that's a huge range.
You see, I'll probably be the one that picks in one day, and she'll probably be the one that takes 2 years.
No. But you're investing in 30 years, you know? Well, exactly. Like, you're looking at a long commitment. You want to make sure that it's, you
and
know,
I will definitely
what you
read
really
all
like.
Those papers of, like, what the house has.
Yeah,
whatever,
and I completely agree. I mean, this is the biggest purchase of one's life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. You know, you're not buying a toy. And I completely get it. Yeah. So it's when you feel ready. And if you do have an agent out there, and I'm just, you know, talking in general, and that agent is a little pushy, you know, or definitely there's over 17,000 real estate agents in Illinois.
Yeah.
So you have a pick. Mm-hmm. So don't ever feel like you are tied to that person. And that goes for your attorney or a home inspector, whoever it is, you know, if it's not a good fit and you're not feeling that person, move on to somebody else. Because if that person's not willing to give you the time and just want you to buy because they need that commission check, then that's not the right person for you.
Right. Interesting.
That's good advice.
Is there a specific neighborhood right now that you will say it's booming? Like a lot of,
Right now, I probably want to say the Hermosa and Avondale neighborhoods are really booming. Some parts of Humboldt Park as well are really.
I saw some parts in Humboldt Park the other day that, you know, I grew up around this area, so I knew it was like pretty bad area, and now they're like up and coming and nice houses.
Too.
Beaumont Cragen as well. Yeah,
for sure.
And you'll see some building. I was like, wow, I used to pass by that building. It was like abandoned.
Yeah.
Now it's really nice. There's a big sign that says Redfin or whatever. Like they're trying to get you
there. Yeah, there's like a community garden there down the block. I'm like, whoa.
It's like, it's nice. The way that that it's transformed is really beautiful. Especially when you grow up and you start thinking like, man, I remember it used to be kind of abandoned and whatnot.
Jefferson Park is another good one too.
Park.
Yeah, that's really hot right now.
See that. But Jefferson Park tends to have a little bit older homes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So so when you're getting into like probably buying a house that's a little bit older, is there any specific things you should look for? Maybe the roof or.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, when you're going in, you're really kind of looking at the aesthetics of the property, but you do have a home inspection period once you're under contract, and that home inspector will be in there 2-3 hours, like literally looking at every single item from your plumbing to your electricity to the roof. You know, they'll get on the roof as well and check to see how the roof is. The garage, believe it or not,
inspector is someone that the home buyer is paying for, like they have to.
Right. So typical cost for home inspector, again, this is like a single family, let's say 3-bedroom, 1-bath, you know, they charge anywhere between $400 to $600.
Wow.
You have to pay the home inspector once the services are rendered.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we'll be in there 2-3 hours. But at that point, you know that you're making a good purchase, you know, or maybe not, you know, maybe this after there's like a list of laundry list of items, you know, and it could be little things, but it could end up to be a lot of things at the end of the day. So you do have that right. It is optional in Illinois to do a home inspection, but I
highly
use
that.
You?
You know what? I always think about, there was a movie, and I forgot that if you guys know the title, jump in. There was a movie I remember where they bought a house. It was real big. It looked like a mansion. They bought the house, and then as soon as they bought it, like the tub falls from the second floor, things are falling apart.
With Drew Barrymore, a really old movie.
It's really old, yeah. But that's always been on my mind. Like if I go to buy, even when we were apartment hunting, Yeah. I was like, man, like, we were checking everything. Like, I was just like, I don't want to live
water,
here.
I want to see the water pressure.
Flushing the toilet. Like, I just want to make sure it works, you know? Yeah. Because the last thing you want is you put all this money into it, and then it breaks down, and then you're stuck with it now.
Exactly.
So.
I think it's called the money pit. I'm not sure.
Yes, I think so. I'll have to. If our listeners know it, they should put it out there. But I remember that movie, and it's always been in the back of my mind every time. Even I remember when my parents bought this house that we're in right now. This was about 20-something years ago, and I remember we had seen that movie, and we were checking every single little thing and made sure. And we did get an inspector. It was they were checking every single thing, and I remember my dad telling him, like, hey, I don't want anything falling apart.
I mean, right, for Chicago, especially here we have basements. So that's like the biggest thing where you're going to find a lot of the, if any, there's any issues is in the basement, especially if there's like seepage coming in, water. That's one thing that you really, really want to be careful of. Because
is there any way to, as a home buyer, to figure out whether or not that neighborhood is prone to like flooding?
So, yeah, so you can Google flood zones or flood maps and just Google it for Chicago, and it will tell you what areas are flooding areas.
Yeah. When my parents were first looking, that's what they told them, the house. Oh, this is really prone. Zone. Yeah. So I was like,
And the thing about that is, too, is that you need separate insurance for
that's
that.
That's what you want.
People
do
don't know that, and that's like an additional cost, you know, to get flood insurance as well.
I know, like, in the Des Plaines area, I want to say.
I think that's where it was. I don't know, because my parents right now are in Franklin Park, but they were looking at some other home, and I think it was probably that area.
Is there an added stress for buyers that you see? Because, like, do the home buyers have to find a home inspector, or do you know a lot of people that you're like, oh, I work with this person
closely? Yeah, I definitely have recommendations. Yeah. I mean, being in the business for so long, I have attorneys I know, you know, home inspectors, surveyor, you know, like anything regarding home buying or real estate, I definitely have a lot of recommendations. And that's another point. So you have the option to look on your own if you want. You know, I always say, again, whoever you feel comfortable with, I'll make the recommendations. But the when you choose that other person, and if I haven't worked, let's say an attorney, if I haven't worked with that attorney, I'm not going to be able to hound them or push them, because I don't know how that person works. Now, if I recommend my attorney, you best believe I'm going to be on my where's that email? Where's, you know, did you send out the letter? You know, so I can be on top of them. So, you know, keep that in mind as a first-time home buyer, the team, because it's really a team, you know?
Yeah,
you know, the team that you're selling. Exactly. Yeah, so make sure that you know and feel comfortable with the person, but at the same point in time, it's easier when it's recommended, because you can be on top of them versus, you know, if you're looking on your own.
And being that it's kind of like a team, would you say the realtor is kind of the project manager, or like the head of the team? Are you kind of calling all the different shots here and there?
Yeah,
and
because you don't know. So, you know, I'm here to tell you, okay, this is how it's going to go. This is what's going to happen. Because since you haven't been through that process, you don't really know. So I'll be explaining, and then also coordinating with the attorney, the home inspector, you know, insurance agent. You need homeowners insurance. So yeah, it's a lot of coordinating and going back and forth.
So is that the first step? I don't know if you asked this already. Like, the first step, like, let's say right now I was like, I think I want to, you know, buy a home. Besides looking at, like you said, like, do I have money in the bank? Like, and is this reality? But like, what's the first? Do you reach out to a realtor? Do you reach out to a lawyer? Do you reach out to the bank to see what, you know, how much they'll approve you for? Like, what is like very first?
I mean, typically when you in this mindset or in the mode of home buying, typical home buyers or first time home buyers, you know, they start shopping online. They start looking at the houses and the pictures, and they start falling in love, and they're like, oh my God, you know. Typically, that happens 6 months before they reach out to a realtor, and that's kind of like the first step is they'll reach out to, let's say that you're looking at a property online, you're like, oh well, let me reach out to this realtor that you from that picture that you saw.
And then
that's how kind of it goes. Or they'll start researching, I'm saying the general public will start researching realtors in the area, maybe looking at some Google reviews or Yelp reviews, things like that, so that way you feel comfortable and who you're going to be working with. Or they use social media, like myself, and then they'll see a post or something, right? But yeah, typically that's where it starts with the realtor. And then the realtor will then start talking to you about, okay, have you talked to a lender? You know, how are you, you know, doing with your credit? Or, you know, start kind of probing you with the questions on financing, and then they'll refer you, or if you choose one of your own, a lender, and then that's how it kind of all gets started.
Because I feel like there's always, there's so much vocabulary that's so foreign, right? Especially, I mean,
intimidating,
I don't know,
too. Yeah, very intimidating.
And then, like, you know, being Latina or just in, you know, the Latino world, like, we don't have access sometimes to that information. No one's sharing that. So we go in there confused, and maybe we're being tricked or paying for this, paying for that. We don't have to. So it's like, you know, trying to find, like you said, someone that you trust that's going to tell you and explain to you, this is what this means, this is what you're paying for. So I think, like, that's also just overwhelming, too, because I don't know any of that language. Like, where to start, you know? I was always just I was always intimidated by the whole just real estate and, like, oh, you know, this is a hot time to buy houses. This is not a hot time. You could lose your money. It's a risky business. So, I mean.
And in terms of time, you know, the time, people say, well, I don't know if I'm ready. You know, the time is when you are ready. It's not when the market's hot or cold or whatever, or if it's winter or summer. It's when you are ready to buy. You have to have that mindset. You're going to go through an emotional roller coaster. Oh, believe me. Believe me. You're going to have your high. You're going to be like, great. Oh, my God, this is stressing me out. And then you're going to be like, oh, my God, this is going to be my house. I'm going to be happy. And then at closing, of course, that's the best day.
The best
feeling. Oh, my gosh. I'm now a homeowner, you know. But yeah, you're going to be anxious. You're going to get upset. You're going to...
I'm going to need a therapist if I ever go through
that. Yeah, exactly.
I think it's very interesting, too, how you brought up the fact that people start searching online, right? And they start falling in love with these. I was doing the same thing with, like, apartment hunting. I was like, oh, man, I really want this place. But I also noticed, too, like, I'll like the place online, and you go and see it in person. Completely different. You have any stories like that?
Oh, all the time. most first time home. This did not look like the picture at all. Yeah, what happens is that us as realtors, when we want to make the home sellable, we want to you know, be kind of capture your attention online so you can go and visit the house. And so we'll use photographers that use wide angle lenses, make it look a little bit bigger, you know. But I always say my best recommendation is look at the dimensions of the room sizes. That's going to give you a more accurate picture of what the house really looks like.
Okay. I've noticed, too, when we were doing the apartment hunting, that there was a couple of realtors that would actually take video. And I found that to be very helpful. Like, to me, that was kind of like, I trusted that person a little bit more because now he's showing me him walking through the actual apartment. And I remember I saw one. I was like, whoa, this place is awesome. And it ended up being rented already. But to me, that was like a different perspective. Is that something that you do as well?
Like, yeah, absolutely. I'll do it on Facebook. I do YouTube videos as well of the property, and I take videos on Snapchat and Instagram as well. So yeah, I definitely use a lot of video.
What about purchasing a condo?
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
Happy with what you that.
Like, recommend the difference between home buying and so a condo.
A single family home is going to be obviously way different. So in a condo, you don't have, you know, to shovel the snow. You don't have to cut the grass. You know, it's a little less maintenance. But it is included in your association. So you have a monthly association fee. And that association fee, of course, is going to vary. But you also, now that's not included in your mortgage payment. So that's a separate cost.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's say it's $150 a month. And that could include you know, your lawn care, your scavenger, which is, you know, your garbage removal. Some include electricity in there. Some even include cable. And if you're like more in the downtown area, you know, it includes other amenities like the pool, the gym, the doorman. So it's going to vary. But yeah, just keep that in mind. You might not have maintenance to do, but you do have to pay for that convenience.
But what about inside repair? So like if your toilet breaks down, is that still something you pay for, or is that part of the association fee or whatever it is?
So whatever inside of the actual unit is yours. That's personal property. That's yours already.
So we have
you
to own pay
that.
For it.
You have to pay. If the toilet breaks, you got to pay for it.
Yeah.
Now, there are what is called bylaws that you're going to be receiving. So these bylaws are going to contain what you can do in the property. So, like, let's say you want to do a total remodel. You need permission to do that from the association.
Yeah.
I can see that. Yeah. Like, what about also? I know, for example, there might be some locations like this area has a lot of bungalows, right?
Right.
Is there any specific area that you cannot do, or you cannot, you know, modify the front? Is that something that a home buyer should look into as well?
Yeah, so that's really not more in the city, unless you have a bungalow that's a historic bungalow, then you would have to get permission from the city to try to do any type of
changes. How do you know if it's a historic bungalow?
You can go online. You can just Google historic bungalow, and then they put in your address, and it should tell you if it's a historic bungalow.
And what are some of the restrictions that they might have?
The facade of the property, the exterior, you might not be able to change. Okay. If you have to improve it, it has to be kept a certain way.
Okay.
But normally, normally in the suburbs is where you're going to find more of these community developments where all the houses look the same.
Yeah.
And there's also an association too. Mm-hmm. And there you also need permission if you want to, let's say, put up a fence, or you want to change the color.
The color, yeah. I was talking to a coworker of mine that she bought a house, and it's in in Spanish we call it like urbanización, so it's like in a whole lot, and they all kind of look the same, but they all have different colors. And she cannot, well, first of all, they have to have the grass at a certain height.
Right.
Or they have to get it done by a certain professional that they have on there. And then they can't change the color of the house. They can't put a fence up. So I'm like, man, there's so many restrictions. I feel like I'm buying a house. I want to make it mine.
Yours?
You know?
Right. Yeah.
I want to make it mine.
Yeah. So in the city, there's not too many restrictions like that. Mm-hmm. You can pretty much do any type of maintenance. Now, if you are going to be doing like the roof, you have to get permits. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, oh, let me just do the roof right now, or let me change this.
Like put a deck up there.
Yeah, exactly. You have to get permits from the city.
Yeah,
it has to be permitted. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen that as well, too, where they start getting work done on the roof and they don't have a permit on it and you're screwed.
I've seen that so many. Like, that doesn't look right. I feel like that was not legal at all. Like, you look
Why is that door that way?
Yeah. No, it has to. And then because you have to, especially if you're going to be doing a total remodel, even inside, you need architectural plans for that. And
okay.
You need the city to allow you to do, especially in the basements. A lot of people want to redo their basements. Mm-hmm. All that has to be in the records of how you changed it, you know, so it complies with the code.
And it might also bring up the value of the home, right? So
if you get
that done. Now, if you're at an inspection and they find, you know, the roof needs to be redone, right? Is it something that needs to be done before the closing, or is that something that gets worked out between the owner and the potential owner? Or?
Right. So after you do a home inspection, let's say there's a list of items that need repair. So there's going to be a couple of options. Either the seller repairs them for you, like all of them, or maybe they might repair a couple of items, or maybe the seller's like, you know what, I'm just going to give you some money.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to deal with it. I'm just going to give you some money. And there's also properties that are sold as is. If they're sold as is, they're not going to do any type of repair, especially if you're buying a foreclosure or a short sale. It's sold as is, they're not going to repair anything. You would have to take that on yourself.
What's a short sale?
So a short sale is when the owner is losing the property. Mm-hmm. They owe more than what it's worth. Mm-hmm. So let's say, for example, the owner owes $300,000, mm-hmm. but the value today states that it's $150,000. Mm-hmm. So the value is basically upside down. And mm-hmm. so the owner will sell it for $150,000, shorting the bank the other $150,000. That's why it's called a short sale.
Mm.
There's a process, and it's a very long process for a short sale. So make sure that if you have time, like if you're living with mom and dad and you have all the time in the world to buy, that's, you know, that might be a great situation for you. But if you're like on a crunch and you got to get out of this lease, short sales are not recommended.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, as a first time, you know, buyer, would you recommend doing a bank-owned property going towards that? Or since you're kind of stuck with it, you say stay away from that a little bit more? What would you recommend?
Or foreclosure? I mean, it's just really going to depend on the person. If you're a handy person, right, if you like to work on, you know, little things here and there, then you might be okay with being sold as is, because you're like, okay, well, I want to change the floors anyway, or I want to, you know, paint or put tiles instead of, you know, hardwood floor, or whatever the case may be, then that's okay. But if you're a first time home buyer, they're just like, No. Like, I want to move in, and that's it. I don't want to touch anything.
Are all foreclosures as is, or is it?
Yes. Limited?
Oh, okay.
So our all foreclosures
are all to say about.
Yeah.
Awesome. So if our listeners want to find you on social media, or they want to talk to you or ask you questions, where can they find you?
Yeah, I was going to say, Google my name. I'm on the first page of Google as soon as you Google my name. Or you can go to my site at www.csonia.com, SEESONIA.com.
Awesome. We want to thank you for coming by and talking to us. I know we had a lot of random questions. Yeah.
We're definitely learning here. So.
Yeah, I'm using it more for my own, you know, to learn myself. But I know a lot of our listeners might be in that area where they're thinking about buying a home, or they just bought, maybe buying their second property right now. So we appreciate you coming by.
Thank you so much for having me.
Blessing the microphone with us today.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, mi gente, you heard it here. If you have any questions, go ahead and Google Sonia Figueroa.
Figueroa was in the house. Sorry, I had to do a shout out last name Figueroa.
So make sure you like and subscribe to our podcast. Share this with whoever you think will benefit from this particular episode, and check us out on social media under La Verdad LTD on Facebook, Instagram. Where else are we at?
Twitter,
everywhere. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and thank you, and God bless, mi gente. Peace.